We are going to be back in Matthew 5 this morning, where we're going to be at the in the beginning weeks of an extended period of time where we'll be talking about Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, the time where Jesus spent much time with his followers, teaching them to be like him. And so we're going to spend some time doing that same thing, studying what Jesus said in order that we might learn those same things. We'll be kind of focusing on verse 6 today. Heavenly Father, as we open your word, once again, Lord, I thank you that we have your written word available to us. What a gift and what a blessing it is. And as was mentioned before about prayer, may we never take for granted, though many of us have stacks of Bibles in our homes and offices, Lord, may we never take that for granted, knowing that there are many around the world starving for access to your word. Knowing that there are places where when a Bible makes its way into a village that it is torn page by page, not out of disrespect, but so that it may be spread around the village and they pass these pieces along. May we have that desperate hunger for your word. And may we be so appreciative that we have it. Lord, teach us this morning. Teach us to be who you want us to be. Embolden us to go and say where you would have us go and what you would have us say. In Jesus' name, amen. So today, I'm going to read the first few verses here, and we will settle in on verse 6. But just to put us back into context, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." And we said in the first week that being poor in spirit referred to those who had an understanding of our own poverty spiritually, that without Jesus in our lives, we are spiritually bankrupt. We have nothing to offer without Jesus. And then that drives us to mourn for the state of our soul without him. But the great promise is when we mourn over the state of our souls, that he will come and comfort us. Then last week we talked about blessed are the meek and came to the conclusion that the meekness being talked about here is not how we act toward others, but how we act toward God. That we are in complete and utter submission to him. And sometimes that causes us to be meek toward other people. But sometimes that causes us to be other than meek to other people. It causes us sometimes to wash their feet and sometimes to turn over the tables in the temple. But not either based upon what we think we should do, but based upon the will of God. And being meek means we have submitted ourselves to that. And this fourth one talks about those who hunger and thirst for righteousness and they will be filled. There are 8 of these Beatitudes. There's 10 verses, but verses 11 and 12 expound on verse 10, which is the 8th one. And if you'll notice, the first 4 talk about our relationship with God. The poor in spirit, those who mourn, those who are meek, and those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And it ends with this verse about righteousness. And the next 4 are about our relationship outward with others. Blessed are the merciful, the pure in heart, and the peacemakers. And then these 4 also end with a verse on righteousness. Except the one that talks about us being righteous in the world means we will end up being persecuted. But when we get to that verse, may we come back to this one, verse 6, that because of that, we may be persecuted by the world, but we will be filled by God. We will inherit the earth. We are members of the kingdom. So what then does it mean to hunger and thirst for righteousness? The Greek word used for this, the way it is used, is not just someone who's hungry like you're hungry for supper, or thirsty that you would like a drink of water, something that you would take, be momentarily filled, and then it would be gone. This is wanting all that there is. This is wanting all that you can get. This is the difference between being a little thirsty and being parched, or being a little hungry and having fasted for 40 days. This is starving and thirsting for the righteousness of God. And that righteousness, biblical righteousness, takes on kind of three forms. One is how we act toward God, our relationship with God. And one is our relationship to the law, that we are kind of obedient to the law. We do the right things. And then the third is that we are outwardly righteous in doing acts of righteousness. And these are all entwined here, because we can't have one without the other. And without the other. And be in a harmonious relationship with God. We must be saved. We must do what God has called us to do by the law. And we must treat others as God would have us to treat others. And when I think of being hungry and thirsty, I think of how our bodies act and what the response is when we eat and when we drink. And we can fill up on junk. We can. We do. And when we do, it makes us less than healthy. The body needs good food. The body needs water. We have to have it to be healthy, to think clearly, to have energy. We have to have the right things. Spiritually, it's the same way. We can fill up on junk. The world gives us lots and lots of junk to fill up on. Right? There's plenty of things that we can try to fill those voids in our life with. You know, we hear about that God-shaped hole right in our soul that we try to fill. Some people with improper relationships, some people with chemicals, some people with activities. We try to fill it, but the only thing that will fill it is God. The only thing that will fit correctly into that. And C.S. Lewis said, if I have desires in my life that nothing in this world ever quite fulfill, if I have a constant longing, and I'm paraphrasing here because I don't remember the exact quote, but if I have this constant longing and hungry, if things are never quite right with me, if the world can never quite satisfy everything in me, then the most likely answer to that is that I was made for another world. And this is what Jesus is offering here and telling us what we need to do to prepare ourselves for that. And he is calling us to righteousness. He is calling us to right living. Very early on, there was some confusion about this. Paul wrote about it. Talked about, you know, where there was sin, there was grace. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? How we live is important. Knowing that we cannot do anything to earn salvation. Nothing we do can bring us. We can't do enough. By grace We have been saved through faith. The only means of salvation is by the cross. But in response to that salvation needs to come righteous living. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. The cross leads to death. Paul wrote about this as well. We've died to sin. So our lives need to change. We need to be different. Putting on the new man. And it is so easy to become settled in to a certain way of living that we can kind of just think we're okay. We can just kind of think the things we do are okay because I've been saved and I go to church and think it's okay. Or maybe it's the things we don't do that we can say, oh, that's okay that I don't do that because I've been saved and I go to church. Paul says, how can we do that? How can we say that if we've died to sin? Does this mean that we are living perfectly? Well, of course not. We all stumble. But that our focus, always being on Christ, is that we would give up those things that are intentionally sinful in our lives. Those things that are ongoing in our lives, that we would change. We would be righteous. And it's hard. But we don't have to do it alone. God sends His Holy Spirit to work with us. We have to do those things God's calling us to do. We have to be those people that God is calling us to be. And we have to treat others as God is calling us to treat others. All of that is part of being righteous. But what Jesus is saying here at the outset is that we need to hunger and thirst for that righteousness. Knowing that at some point we don't yet have it and we won't fully on this side of glory ever completely have it, but we need to hunger and thirst for it. I'm reminded of Psalm 42. As a deer pants for water, so my soul longs for you. We need to want it so bad that we can't even see anything else. We want that change in our lives so bad that we can't even see anything else. We want to live reflecting Christ as so accurately that when the world persecutes us for it, we welcome it. Because we then have elevated past a place where we're receiving our satisfaction from what the world thinks of us. And we seek only to satisfy the one who saved us. And again, this is hard. We have to then stop and look and reflect at the things we do that we shouldn't or the things we don't do that we should, and ask God to help us move in those areas, to be willing to stand up regardless of our age, to be willing to stand up and say, I am going to go and live as Jesus is teaching me to live. It's possible. It's doable. And it pleases God. Jesus is calling us at the outset to hunger and thirst, to be righteous people. And just erase that image in your mind of being self-righteous, which is kind of a negative thing to say, because we cannot be self-righteous. We are none of us righteous in ourselves. The only righteousness comes from getting ourselves out of the way and letting Jesus in. But Jesus doesn't say here, blessed are those who are righteous. just those who want to be. You want it? Jesus is saying, I'll give it to you. You want it? Come and get it. Taste and see that the Lord is good. But if you don't get up and come, then you're going to go hungry. You're going to go thirsty. And when you starve yourself and when you go without water, you can't act as well. You lose energy. You don't think as clearly. But when we feed ourselves on the Word of God, and we beg Him for that which He desires to give us, and we go back through these and say, I know, Jesus, I am poor in spirit. I'm nothing without You. That devastates me. Because of what You've done, I don't want to be that anymore. So I'm going to be meek. I'm going to submit myself completely to You. And Lord, I am hungry and I am thirsting to be the kind of person You want me to be. Then Jesus says, yours is the kingdom of heaven. You will be comforted. Your inheritance is everything. And you're not going to be hungry anymore. You'll be filled. Filled. Not half full. Not half empty. But the Creator, Jehovah God, seated on the throne of heaven, desiring to pour out on us from the storehouses of heaven, pouring out blessings on us from the storehouses of heaven. Not in worldly goods, but in eternal goods. Not in things that moths eat and rust destroys, but in things that are permanent and will last forever and ever. And I worry sometimes that just like with the kids, that when we hear that things, when we say, well, not earthly goods, but spiritual ones, that sounds like it's kind of, well, we're going to take it because this is church, but that doesn't really sound as good. I'd rather have earthly stuff, you know. I'd rather have the candy. But we need to stand up and shake ourselves out of that mentality. Because we know, adults, right, we know that 3 meals a day of junk will do nothing but rot your teeth and make you sick and make you unable to do the things that you have to do. You can't live eating like that physically. Neither can we survive eating like that spiritually. We have to go after what God wants us. We have to take that spiritually mature look and take that which is good for us. And then find out that it is really, really good. Because God doesn't offer anything that's second rate or second best. After all, He gave you a son. The most precious thing He had. He put Him on a cross for me. He's not holding back anything else. It's all yours. If you'll turn yourself over to Him and receive it. Amen.